So we must make an enormous and firm distinction between A Course in Miracles and virtually every other spiritual thought system in existence. From prehistoric to ancient Egyptian to Lao Tzu to aspects of Hinduism to Zoroastrianism to the Old Testament to the Koran to the New Testament and to other neo-dualistic systems. Every one of them is a system of duality that has some kind of a source, usually God or gods, being the creator in some way of that which is not itself, and then responding to it or interacting with it. In the 1990s, one of the most popular spiritual books ever written has God himself saying that he created fear. That is an inaccuracy so major, we cannot stress too much how completely false it is. God does not create anything that is not the perfect oneness of heaven. As Jay puts it very early in his course when describing anything that doesn't reflect the thought system of the Holy Spirit, everything else is your own nightmare and does not exist. And later on, you are at home in God, dreaming of exile, but perfectly capable of awakening to reality. Those are statements of non-duality. They are designed to save you time, and there are several thousand more like them in the course, just in case you don't hear Jay the first time, although it's apparent that even several thousand are not enough for many of your fellow students.
Is that because we're unconsciously afraid of its message?
Yes. It's not because of a lack of intelligence, but because of an abundance of unconscious resistance. We need you to help pass along some of the things that people don't want to hear, the vital things that are being ignored by so many. It's a dirty job, Gary, but someone's got to do it. We're not calling on you to judge or attack other teachers or argue with people, because forgiveness and arguing are mutually exclusive, and forgiveness is always the way. But the world isn't all sweetness and light, and when it comes to your writing, staying in line with everyone else isn't what's needed from you. By having you emphasize that the course is a self-study discipline, people are more likely to check it out for themselves and give the ideas a chance. Don't hold anything back. Anyone can write what people already believe, but if you're going to pass along our words, then what is needed is a willingness to say some things that people don't already believe. However, if you'll faithfully give our message, then I promise that when we leave you in the end, it will be on the most positive of notes. You will have learned about true joining, not with people on the level of bodies, but on the level of the mind, which is beyond all forms.
I take it there are important reasons why you keep pointing out the distinctions between duality and non-duality, and why you champion the real meaning of the course?
Yes. It has to do with the laws of the mind and how true forgiveness works. Gary, the reason for understanding the course is not merely for an intellectual comprehension. That plus a dollar will get you a cup of coffee. The reason it will be extraordinarily helpful for you to understand Jay's course is so you can better apply it to the problems and situations that confront you in your alleged daily existence. It is the application of true forgiveness, along with Jay or the Holy Spirit, that will lead you to genuine happiness, peace, and eventually, heaven.
All right. I don't want to seem stupid, but to make sure I understand, you're saying the course is purely non-dualistic, meaning that of the two seeming worlds, the world of God and the world of man, only the world of God is true, and he doesn't interact with the false world. But the Holy Spirit is here to guide us home. When the course makes statements about God weeping for his children and stuff like that, you have to take it symbolically as the Holy Spirit wanting us to choose his voice instead of the ego's?
Exactly. Very good. You're not stupid, Gary, although your ego would like for you to be. The ego's entire world is a stupid idea because it's based on a stupid decision. You just said something important, something that's very much in harmony with the right way of looking at the course, although you'd never know it by the way most people write and speak about the course today. In the whole 7 years Helen was scribing the course, and during the 8 years she lived after that, it never once occurred to her or Ken, who was her best friend during those years, and whose tapes you should break down and listen to, that there could possibly be any other interpretation of the course. But give the world a few years to screw up Jay's message, and it's a wonder to behold. So let's continue our mission so you can hear the Course's explanation of what was really behind the creation, or more accurately, miscreation of your universe and the making of bodies.
We've already pointed out that in the beginning, a small aspect of the Christ mind...
Should I spell Christ mind with the big M in our book?
Don't worry about the details too much. The Course uses a capital M when talking about the Christ mind. But we're talking about the separation here, so you can use a small M or a big M if you want. You've started writing our book?
Not really. I'm still trying to think of a title for it.
Any ideas?
So far, it's between Love is Letting Go of Beer and A Return to Beer.
Keep thinking about it. It's something Persa said earlier. It'll come back to you. So this small aspect of Christ has briefly dozed off and is dreaming a dream of separation and individuality. We'll explain the idea of briefly dozing off when we talk about time, which is a trick of the ego. As far as individuality is concerned, that's something else you mistakenly value very highly. Folks around this neck of the woods pride themselves on their so-called rugged individualism. You'll discover the roots of that nonsense shortly. At this point in our story, you have the very beginning of consciousness, yet another thing you foolishly value highly. In order to have consciousness, you have to have separation. You've got to have more than one thing. You have to have something else to be conscious of. This is the beginning of the split mind. As the Course teaches in no uncertain terms, consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. The Course also says just before that, perception did not exist until the separation introduced degrees, aspects, and intervals. Spirit has no levels, and all conflict arises from the concept of levels. Thus, as mentioned earlier, you should try to remember that energy is not spirit, spirit being your unalterable true reality. Energy, which changes and can be measured, exists within the domain of perception. As Jay also teaches, perception always involves some misuse of the mind, because it brings the mind into areas of uncertainty. There is no uncertainty in heaven, because there's nothing but everything. But here you have identities. People are born with special relationships immediately, first the ones with their mothers, and soon with their fathers.
You're making me a little uncomfortable.
Comfort is the goal, not necessarily the means. What is it, buddy?
Well, I miss my parents, and I honor their memory. It feels a little strange to think they don't even exist, except in an illusion.
Well, that's understandable. Your parents are, along with spouses and children, the most fundamental of relationships. The Course refers to the relationships that are set up for in this world as special relationships. We'll be talking more about that and your resistance to giving up identities, whether yours or those of others, as we proceed. Remember, Jay loved his parents, Joseph the stonemason and Mary of Sepphoris, but he also loved everyone else the same. Special love is specific. The Holy Spirit loves everyone equally.
I thought Joseph was a carpenter.
No, but it doesn't matter. Do you believe Jay would have loved him any less if he was unemployed? The community would have loved him less, but not Jay. He loved us all unconditionally.
Then he would have loved St. Paul, too, even if his theology wasn't the same.
Of course. Paul, or if you will, Saul of Tarsus, is loved the same by Jay as the rest of us to this day. I remember I was speaking once in Parthia, which is now Iran, and the crowd tried to engage me in a discussion about various theologies. I told them that for Jay, it wasn't theology that mattered, but the truth. And the truth was the love of God, which is what Jay is. Now, if you really are love and not a person, then how can you love one person and not another? It wouldn't be possible. If you did that, then you wouldn't be love, would you? You'd be something else. Yes, Jay loved his parents, and so should you. But he wasn't willing to limit them or anyone else to false images of themselves. He knew his real home and theirs was in Yahweh.
where?
Yahweh, Eloi, God, Adonai, Elohim, Kyrios, it's all divine. Words in theology disappear in God. Nobody will be bringing their Bibles or course books into heaven with them. The course is a tool. You use it like a ladder to climb up to where you're going. And once you get there, you throw the ladder away. It's no longer needed.
By the way, we mentioned special love earlier, but there are two kinds of special relationships, special love and special hate. We'll eventually explain more about both of them and their purpose, which is really the same. But right now we should continue with our story. We've already talked about the first division in the mind, and along with it has come consciousness. Because of this, for the first time, you have a conscious choice to make. Before that, there was nothing to choose between. But now there are two possible responses to this idea of separation. That's what leads to the second division of the mind. We've already said the seemingly separated mind appears to divide and subdivide. That symbolizes separation. But all the divisions are symbolic of the first few. Once you really understand the first ones, you will understand them all as the same, despite appearances to the contrary. You have to remember that after the first division, heaven is just a memory.
What do you mean by that?
Consciousness is not of God. So now something completely different seems to be happening for you, an experience of individuality. Whenever the mind divides, its new condition is reality to it, and its former condition is denied and forgotten. A psychologist would call this repression, except the magnitude of what we're discussing is far beyond what any human could be aware of. However, the dynamic is the same in the sense that what has been repressed is unconscious. Incidentally, the unconscious is not a place, it's a device of the mind. It's still possible to remember what's been denied, but without help, it would be highly unlikely for you to remember that which you have dissociated. Now, the you that we and the Course are referring to has nothing to do with you as a human being. It's the part of your mind that makes decisions. Even when you appear to be making a decision here in this world, you are not really making it here because you are not here. In our story, this new, seemingly individual mind is going to make its very first decision. At this point, there are only two choices, and there will always be only two choices. There, you have the second division of the mind. Now you appear to have a right mind and a wrong mind, each representing a different choice or a different response to the tiny, mad idea.